Welcome to the Daily Brief Podcast. I'm Laverne Cusack, senior producer here at Promax BDA. In a world where multiple device usage is no longer the exception but the rule, the time has come for a new multi-platform approach. Once upon a time, brand managers shaped their messages around what they knew about customers on their platform of choice. That is clearly no longer the case as brands cross multiple console and mobile platforms, chasing consumers who are engaging with these brands wherever they choose to be. Multiple options for the consumer also means multiple options to engage in conversations for the marketer. Of course, understanding there are differences means evolving how advertising, conversations, and community connect to the audience in all these spaces. Here's a session taken from the recent Promax Games with Rob Smith, consultant of Robert Smith UTB Consulting, Michael Powers, SVP GM of GameSpot and CBSI Games, and Joshua Rabinovitz, Senior Director, Global Brand Management, EA Sports, Electronic Arts. Here's what they had to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here to talk about, in this session, addressing the issues around questions about what's now required to ensure audience engagement, not only across platforms, games, but even years, all while maintaining a premium quality. To provide that insight, we've assembled our esteemed experts here from EA and CBS Interactive. Josh and Michael, do you want to just introduce yourselves?
Go for it.
I've been at GameSpot about 3.5 years. Before that, I was at YouTube from the early days and scaling it up to post-Google, up to a scale where we actually had some real revenue and real sales channels. So I've been on the platform side of going, you know, as big an audience as possible over to a publisher side where you're trying to engage with the audience across those platforms. And I see the challenges I created when I created a lot of the features on YouTube. Now I have to live with them on the GameSpot side and try to wiggle around them.
Yeah, same thing for me. I've been at EA for the last 3 years. I was at ESPN prior, and then before that, PepsiCo. So three totally different industries that look at content platform totally different. For some, it's rooted in what we do every day, and for others, you're reaching for that wider audience as you know, many different platforms can offer. So yeah, excited to be here and looking forward to it.
So you know, the differences of the specific differences in your industries are unique to, you know, making games and talking about games in, from a media standpoint, but you're both dealing with the same fundamental challenge, which is around consumers who are now engaged across all these different around their brands in multiple different ways. And so ensuring consistent and high-quality content across all these platforms is now a different kind of challenge to maintain that AAA quality. So each of our guys here have got a little sort of presentation to go through about sort of where they're looking and what the specifics are about the brands that they're working with and how they're addressing this challenge of engaging with consumers across multiple platforms in multiple ways. So, Josh, you want to kill?
Yeah, so real quick, how many, so I know the audience, how many people have played Madden? Okay, so a decent amount. It's all important to know the audience, right? So the challenge with Madden, it's a three-decade-old brand. And for 25 decades, we built a game, a platform largely on a disc. And what had happened for Madden is it kind of lost its luster. We couldn't get and acquire any kind of growth for the brand. And so it was a real challenge for us. And we're a public company, and we're one of the faces of EA. And we really had to kind of take a step back and rethink, if you will. I think there's a couple slides just to provide some context, a bit of a visual. And I call it like we were a one-trick pony. And 5 years ago, even still, like that was not what the marketplace was headed. And so the opportunity for us was to really say, okay, are we going to continue to go down this path of developing a console game, a AAA console game experience, or are we going to really start to invest behind this brand and really give our players what they want? And it sounds nuanced, but what we did is we simply put the brand at the forefront of all of our thinking. That simple. Who we are, what we want to be and aspire to be, what our role is within this space, and it was bigger than gaming. And we didn't even think about the platforms for a moment. And then we put the player in the center as well and asked ourselves, what do they want? What do they need from Madden? What are the motivations for playing a football game? And that changed fundamentally the game for us, our entire playbook. And if you scroll through a couple slides now, there's only four, so there's not many. We built an ecosystem where we were a one-trick pony 5 years ago, and today we are a multi-platform, multi-channel, like I said, ecosystem. And it's been game-changing for us. We went from starving for 6-7 million people a year from an acquisition standpoint to over 35 million since that five-year benchmark kind of hit for us and the light bulb went on. Everything we do now, we ask ourselves, is it a brand fit? Is it a player fit? And then we ask ourselves, what's the right channel and what do we do with that channel that's unique from the other channels? We didn't have mobile before. We didn't have a subscription model for a way in. We didn't have a microtransaction in-game mechanic. We didn't have free-to-play. We had none of that. We had a $60 console good. And today, we have all those. And now we're looking at new ways to introduce ourselves to a wider audience. And that includes the social platforms and how we utilize those and how we leverage them and which ones are right at the appropriate time for us. And we try to stay as real time as possible and follow the sport, and in some cases even lead the sport, like tonight at the draft, every time a player is chosen, we're dropping that player in real time for our fans on any platform to play and engage with. And there's a whole content plan around that, whether it's our social channels, our own channels, paid channels, or within the game platforms themselves. But we're not perfect. And the very last slide just kind of gets to what I call three C's, to be academic for a moment, that I think are, they will unlock a lot of potential for Madden, and they will, I think, unlock a lot of potential for our industry. And in no particular order, convenience, curation, and convergence. And I'd leave it with this. Convenience, you know, my wife went out of town, and I had a lot of free time on my hands. The kids were asleep, and I decided to play some games. And it took me about 40 minutes to put the disc in, load it up, updates, set my roster, buy some stuff, blah, 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 blah. 40 minutes to get to the fun. That's a terrible experience. And our brand should not accept that. Another example is just to make a purchase in a game right now, sans maybe mobile. It can take 5, 6, 8, 12 clicks just to get to a purchase. And I was at an e-commerce organization for a short period. And if I know anything, I know that the objective is one click. And so we have got to, as an organization and as a industry, figure that out, because we are an e-commerce industry at this point. And time is too important. It's not a commodity. We are fighting and scrapping for best time available from our players and from our audience. And we're not competing against ourselves or each other. We're competing against life and every entertainment vehicle that is out there. So lots of distractions. Curation, it's a big broad bucket. Pure personalization fits under this. Customization, segmentation, optimization, everything. But we're not good at it right now as an industry. Madden's no exception here. And we need to figure out how we move the industry to where the Googles and the Amazons are headed, or frankly already are. And I think we're about behind the eight ball. We have so many people playing games. So much time is spent, yet the experience is just not that one-to-one and personalized. And if I told you that your shopping cart at Amazon wasn't the same on mobile as it is on web, or that your playlist on Spotify isn't the same playlist when you go to the office and do it on the PC, you'd think I was, like, you know, living somewhere else. But that's how our games are. That whole ecosystem for Madden is not a connected ecosystem. I know people by numbers. I don't know them by names or where they live or any of those things. And we need to be able to curate an experience for them. So we cut out a lot of the clutter of that startup load up 20 minutes and get them to the fun as fast as possible. And then that last one, convergence, and I touched on it, but how do we make an ecosystem or our games, our brands, our experiences tethered to one another and interconnected so that we don't make our players work. I think that's one of the biggest opportunities that we hear. Some players will say it. Most players won't because they don't know any different. But when you ask them and probe in those areas, they talk about convergence all the time on different platforms. And so that's something that I think not only Madden and EA, but the industry really needs to provide for our players. So,
Michael, do you want to GameSpot's experience with this?
Yeah, when we were talking before the panel, we were comparing notes on the angles we were coming at this from. We're all very different. We're promoting kind of different communities. We're trying to reach different audiences. So for GameSpot and the CBSi Games Network, which is GameFAQs and Giant Bomb, the common thread is that we're gamers who want to engage other gamers in a conversation about what we have fun with, right? What games we like, what we like about them. We're trying to share that space. So for us, it's been a matter of the last, I'd say, a little over 2 years of kind of being out where the communities are, being out where the individual gamers are, and being relevant to as many as possible. So that's been a major transformation. Many of you work with us. Many of you build the games or you promote the games. And, you know, we're partners in trying to just engage the fans, make more fans, change impressions, get more exposure. So when I look at it, what we've found over the last 2 years is that we have been building audiences on every major platform. The site, Facebook, YouTube, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, the list goes on. Line, I mean, it's just an enormous list. And some of them are scaling really fast, and some of them, some lessons we've learned. I wanted to share a couple of them. I think the next slide on this gives a starting point for it. Okay, so this is, you know, a kind of graph you always want to show. It's like your hero graph, and I don't show it just to kind of say, oh, wow, you know, look how much we grew on Facebook, but to tell you some of the points, things we learned that made that happen. So Facebook is one of those platforms where there are engines in there that let you grow if you invest in it. Now, video is really the engine on Facebook right now. So we produce video, different formats. We've had very short ones that are only 10 seconds long, and then 90 seconds, 3 minute long videos, which is very different than what we do on site or on YouTube. And the change it required of our team to wrap their heads around this, to actually get in there and enjoy this experience, was enormous. And the team now is split into targeted small teams that run each individual page on Facebook. We have two of them, GameSpot and GameSpot Universe, both growing very fast. One is gaming, one is entertainment and gaming culture. But they're individual teams. And so we learned you can't use the same team, even on Facebook. You can't use the same Facebook team that's doing well with gaming, purely gaming, and have them cover movies and television and anime and wrestling. You just can't do that. So you got to target the team, and you have to have a marketing partner with them who knows how to speak the language, write titles, engage the community. The other thing I wanted to point out here is a notion of flywheels. Now, I come from the startup world. A flywheel is what drives a startup from being nothing to actually being viable. You want to get things moving in your favor where everything's feeding into each other, and you can scale by not putting more effort in, but by just getting benefits of the effort you already put in. So the flywheel on Facebook is that if you make engaging content, they give you credit for that, so the next piece of content you put in gets more exposure than it normally would get. And then if that does well, you get even more the next time. It's almost like a page rank or something like Google would have. That has allowed us to grow to that scale on Facebook. Twitter is a great platform, but it doesn't have a flywheel. It's very geometric. You get a few more followers, they might retweet it, you get a few more exposure points. They're doing a little bit with introducing to a wider audience, but nowhere near the scale that Facebook does. And YouTube is similar. It goes off subscribers, and then you get a bit of a lull, and then you get the search discovery going on. So people have to kind of find you by searching. The flywheel there isn't quite as dynamic as what you see on Facebook. But each platform has its strengths, and I think one thing I just want to convey is that targeting per platform is the way you have to go. You can't create once and even change the format and spread it out and get the maximum engagement of your community. And you're not going to be very relevant to them. And that's part of what we've been doing. I wanted to play the next slide is actually one of the Pokemon Go last summer when it came out. This is a meme that we created that is the biggest piece of content we've ever produced. It went to about 65 million views within a couple months. Moving our team so that we feel comfortable producing that content and get good at it has been a very big transformation. And we produce really hard-hitting gaming, in-depth, you know, background material and gameplay. And then we have team members now who do mashups. It's just, you know, mix a gaming experience with some pop culture references that are very notable and everybody recognizes. So when you get your arms around these audiences, you've got your audience on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, on our site, your email. How do you pull it all together and find out how you're doing? We have a tool called Tracks, and we basically pump all the data in about what people are viewing on the site into it. We also take our YouTube traffic and put that in there, and our Facebook traffic and put that in there. And what we track is around game titles and what people are paying attention to. Then on top of that, what we've been doing is doing a monthly survey on site and on Facebook and on Twitter, where we ask questions about particular game titles. How aware are you of them? What's your intent to purchase? And what's your perception of the quality? And then we put all that together so we can track over time how individual titles are doing. And it's been amazing to see the response. Like on Facebook, we probably get three times as many respondents to that survey than we do on site. And the on-site numbers are quite large. And it's been surprising to see the response on Twitter and Facebook to that. But pulling that data back in and coming first full circle to know, get a pulse of how things are going is invaluable. So when we talk about multi-platform, I think it's the two takeaways that I want to pass on is targeted teams for production and community relationship, individual per page, per channel, and then the other part is get feedback on the other side and get a pulse regularly. I don't know what that was. Dramatic. I'm sorry, just dramatic. okay, that's it on my side.
All right, so I mean, one of the points of this was sort of illustrating how related but different industries are still grappling with the same question. So now that you've actually both heard each other's, I mean, Josh, are there any universal truths to this multi-platform challenge that you're facing that can be applied in different to different industries? Yeah. Related or otherwise.
Well, I think you talked a little bit about it just a moment ago, which was you have to know your platform and know the audience on that platform. I think all brands that I've worked on have at some point or another early on, usually in the adoption of these platforms, run into the pattern of they try to force the same content on all these different platforms, and it we just know it doesn't work. And so the problem is now you need a whole bunch of more humans to produce that content, and you need a whole lot more dollars to really make it kind of flourish with the algorithms and the way things are set up today. So we just try to take a real individualized lens to each platform that we're in, whether that's an actual gaming platform or whether that's a conversation platform. And it's not easy, and it requires a lot more resources, but it's the right thing to do. And we've even taken the approach of backing off. Don't be everything to every platform. Instead, do less, and fewer, bigger, better kind of mentality.
Yeah, I was struck by your note about convenience. I was thinking, you know, what can I do around that? Where you've got a games media site where we're going across all the top games, indie games across the consoles, and then we're reaching them on these different platforms. And convenience for us is like, how quickly can you engage our people and engage the excitement that we're trying to push back and forth? And I think we don't often think about that. I think that's a transition that's happening, I think, for our team now, where it's not just about producing and broadcasting and then responding to a couple comments. It's about actually getting more deeply connected to the people more quickly who are connect, who want to connect to you because they found something that was funny or really made them like stop and, you know, take a deeper look. So that's definitely a takeaway I'm going to have from this.
Yeah.
As you've gone through this process and as you said, like transformation, are there any, aside from resources, core resources, specific sort of roadblocks you've come across, maybe in just sort of the traditional way of thinking that has to be adjusted into this new multi-platform space?
Yeah, I think this, the one thing is sort of the relative, let's see, how do you value the different platforms and where your efforts can go? Because like I said, you know, we're probably producing for about 20 platforms right now. Now, different levels of effort, right? We have two dedicated teams for Facebook. We have one dedicated team for YouTube, which is about to become three dedicated teams to YouTube, and one dedicated for on-site, actually two for on-site. Then there's a question of, well, how much do we apply to Twitter? How much do we apply to Instagram? Do we have an in there that we can sort of start to build momentum around? So I find our conversations are often like, you want to apply enough to find your opening, but you don't want to overinvest in something that's going to only give you a small incremental gain.
Right, that's actually something that I think Joshua was getting at, that you look at these individual platforms in their own light, and maybe less is more. So, I mean, did you have to consider core changes to your actual content to fit these platforms?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, for us, when we started to put that brand in the center and then think of the right platforms, mobile's a natural one. Doesn't even take a lot of thought, but how you do it is critical. I think the thought was early that we could just port over the AAA game right into mobile. And there she went. And we learned multiple times that that is not the right avenue to take. You have to, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying about content, you have to take the platform, an organic approach and native approach to that platform. And that brings it back full circle to convergence. And so now, you know, you've developed these platforms, whether it's content platforms or gaming platforms, you know, natively and organically for what they are. But now they're somewhat fragmented outside of the essence, in our case, of what the brand is and what its meaning is for the player. And so if we don't now figure out how to bring them back together, even if it's not all the way to Bright, I think we're going to turn people off, because the expectation now in the marketplace is that there's a seamless journey from one device to another and from one channel to another. And if we're not up to snuff with that, then people are going to go look elsewhere.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, if I were to simplify what each platform means to us, like our site is really about being informed. So then you end up with news, reviews, features, in-depth sort of documentaries. If I look at Facebook, there we've got, you're kind of more of a part of the pop culture mix. So that's why that mashup with Forrest Gump and The Office and Pokemon works really well. So it's a lot about just being very aware of the pop culture themes and how gaming relates to that. YouTube is much more personality driven. So there you end up with like gameplay. You want to get close to the people who are actually saying something really good about, you know, smart about the games. And shows, our original programming, all do really well on YouTube. And don't do that well on Facebook. It's just not a platform for shows right now. And this is all dynamic, right? It changes. So when I look at that, our teams are producing different content for each. And they're also, we're not putting news on YouTube, but we are doing it on site. The other piece is that when we produce something, the format's different. So the mix on Facebook, you have a lot of 10-second, 15-second, 30-second pieces that gain you a lot of audience, and then behind it, you put the 90-second, 3-minute, you know, game feature, you know, behind-the-scenes pieces, reflections. And on site and YouTube, they're longer-form pieces. Yeah.
Josh, you cited with the example of the draft that's an immediate reaction that you're going to be able to have within brand. How important is it to be immediate, to be able to be reactionary, because it's easier to do perhaps on some platforms than it is on others. So do you care about maintaining consistency across all of those, or make the content work right for the platform that it's on?
Well, I think you always want to, again, lean into what the platform's strongest at. But right now, we have pretty much adopted, at least for Madden, an approach that it doesn't all have to be live. In fact, most of it's not live, but it can be scheduled and then released with the perception that it is live, right? So we don't know who's going to be drafted with what pick for what team tonight. But a lot of that stuff is canned and ready to go, and then we have a war room for ourselves, and we start to release the content. Again, it comes back to resources and making choices, and for us, that's a moment that it's endemic to what Madden is. We have to own that moment and give that moment to our players. The same could be said for a kickoff or Thanksgiving or the Super Bowl, whereas it might not be that important for us to be live at Halloween, right? Like, so you just have to find what your brand is, what the right optics are for your brand at that moment, and decide if it's live or not.
And Michael, you obviously have an easier path into live reaction.
Yeah, I think the live stuff that comes out the most is like when a new game comes out, and we most often we'll broadcast it live and play it through and make all kinds of discovery, and it's just fun to see the reactions and very engaging time, I think, and then some of the events. But I think knowing when to use live is really important. I think that those are great uses of that. And other things, we've tried it or sampled it a bit and just found that the video on demand is much more accessible, and they much rather see it when they want to see it.
Yeah. And a lot of mistakes can happen in live, right?
Yeah.
So, excuse me, you send out the wrong thing in a social conversation, and it turns ugly quick. So it's a double-edged sword.
Well, as you're looking at all of these platforms, how much are you looking at the question of not only every platform or every brand, every platform, but every year, and looking at that from a how the platforms are going to evolve over time?
Mm-hmm. Gosh, go ahead.
Yeah, it's super dynamic. I mean, I think that one of the themes between both things that we're saying is complexity. So we're just seeing you're just choosing to live in a much more complex audience space, and the platform is your vehicle to get to audience. And you just have to get really comfortable with that to say, well, we're going to learn what works, but we're also going to make sure that we don't get stale. And getting stale means like a year you get stale, because the whole thing changes, right? Video wasn't a thing on Facebook even a year and a half ago. It's only really been a year. And I keep talking to my friends at YouTube, because back then we were worried about Facebook, and now I keep knocking on the door and being like, hey, I hope you're really worried about Facebook, because they're getting really, really big and really good. That's a new thing, right?
And we look at the platforms come in cycles. So, you usually have 3 to 5 years before it vastly switches on you again. And that puts the onus on the content, which is the hardest thing for us, is how do we keep the content new and different every year? Because if you're not worth $60 or $30, we take for granted how much money that is for somebody. And if we are not opening new ways to purchase the game, whether it's subscription for $5 or a trial to validate whether or not the value is there, you just have a smaller audience if you don't think like that. And that is at the forefront of what we're trying to do: build the best content year over year, release it in the best channels for what we're trying to do, and then ensure that we have the proper barrier of entries for those different cohorts that we're going after.
Right. Do you still look at the concept of AAA across all of those platforms?
Do we still use it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of part of the DNA of just our industry. I think we tend to look at it more as an HD-oriented term, but I would argue that our mobile games have to be AAA as well. So, I think it leans console, but it should be looked at as the highest quality bar, regardless of the platform, whether it's content or gaming as well.
Well, that's about our time. I'd like to thank Michael and Josh for hopefully providing some insight into new multi-platform and new solutions. And thank you very much, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of ProMax BDA. Lafern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at ProMax BDA. Video helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate Lekire-Marion and social media coordinator Kristen Craik contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige A, follow Lafern at Lafern Cusack, follow ProMax BDA at ProMax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. Subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.